Well, it's great to be here today. It's cooking. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. I'll come over there in a few moments. I'd like to share with you this morning on detours that occur on the highway to your dream. Detours that take you off the highway to your dream. We are all born dreamers. Every one of us as children loved to dream. We all had heroes. We had people we looked up to and wanted to be like. Have you remember ever dreaming something? Something you wanted to do. Something you wanted to be. A place you wanted to go. Someone you wanted to marry. Well, we're all born dreamers. How do you tell when a person gets old? When they can't dream anymore. That's right. Caleb was 85 years old and he said, I'm as young and strong today as I was at 40 when I got in the wrong church of unbelief and we be not able and got 40 years in the wilderness, so give me that mountain. What kept him young? Not vitamins and minerals, vision. Vision kept him young, kept him strong, gives you something to live for. It's a very powerful ingredient. And when you can't dream anymore, you can be 27 and you're old. You start dying immediately. Now, when we've lost vision or a goal, I guess all of us have had something we've dreamed for and watched it slip away from our fingers. And I'd like to talk about some of those detours that take us off that highway to our dream this morning. Could I say this? I heard somebody the other day make a statement, and I had a quick answer for it. I usually do. Not always the right answer, but I always have a quick answer. Anyway, but I speak before I think sometimes, and that causes a lot of detours in my life. But I'm learning to do a little bit better. But a guy said, how come I wish we had a millionaire give us $1 million for our church? We had just had one of the national basketball players give us a very large amount of money for the church, and Magic Johnson, and I'm trying to think of the other football, Reggie White on the football team had given Bishop Charles Blake in Los Angeles, California $3 million for their inner city church work, and this guy was complaining who was a pastor. And I remember what I said to him. I said, God will give you the people to fulfill your dreams. And I said, he is not going to give you a millionaire for a 50 rand dream. Hello. What in the name of God would he put a person who's got 40 times the vision of the leader and have him follow you? To where? So get a bigger dream. And God will give you the people to help you fulfill that dream. You get a million rand dream, you'll get some million rand people. That God will put them there. He has to put them there. And every dream he gives you is bigger than you are, so you can grow. That's why it's not possible in the natural to fulfill it, because God wants you to reach, and by reaching, he causes you to do what he wants you to do, which is grow. Make sense? So if you stop growing, you gotta get a bigger dream. And if you wanna see a better caliber of people, you've gotta be taking them somewhere that's a lot higher than where you are for the moment to draw those kind of people. It's just about that simple. Well, let me give you some reasons we fail to realize our dreams this morning. Here's detour number one. Unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations. There are times our dreams are not realized because the expectation of those dreams simply are not realistic. Now, there are two sources of unrealistic expectations. Number one, the unrealistic expectation placed on us by others. Sometimes our parents or people put dreams in our heads, visions in our hearts that are not going to happen. Sometimes a frustrated parent who had an unhappy life tries to fulfill their unfulfilled dream through their child. And it becomes our son the doctor or our son the astronaut. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up the child in the way he should go. Instead, we raise them in the way we want them to go and give them a goal they're not going to achieve. Recently, we had a young lady in her mid-20s who was a pediatrician. The only problem with it is she hated kids and she didn't like doctoring. She's brilliant. But that wasn't what she wanted to do. It's what her family wanted her to do. And hanging out for a few months in our church talking about vision, about destiny, and about purpose, it was a relief to her to shut down the practice and walk away from it. She's now on our staff. And she's as happy as she can be. She ain't got no kids to mess with, and she doesn't have to give them a shot. She just happened to be real smart, so she was able to pass all of the tests in college and in med school. She was able to be credentialed, but it never was a passion of her heart. It didn't make her happy. It didn't fulfill her. It was something her parents wanted her to do. I want you to know you'll be detoured in life if you try to fulfill somebody else's purpose for your life instead of God's purpose for your life. Your parents cannot impose on you as a child what they didn't get, what they wanted to do but didn't do. That's illegal, and it's unrealistic, and it simply won't happen. Instead, we raise our children in the way we want them to go instead of the way the Lord wants them to go. So my job for my children is to put character in them, put value in them, put Christian morals and value in them, but it's God's job to call them into what He wants them to be. Just because you're a preacher doesn't mean your son's going to be one. Now, he may be and probably will be, but in some cases that won't be the case, and there's nothing wrong. So don't put the rejection of the church and people on him by forcing him to be your protege when God made him a banker. Let him be what he's been made to be. And if you're trying here this morning, unfulfilled, trying to fulfill something somebody else put on you, stop it. And get back on the highway to the passion God put in your heart, to the dream that He has for your life, and you'll see it fulfilled. Okay? Then there's the unrealistic expectation we place on ourselves. That's asking too much of yourself, and that'll make you your own worst enemy. Somebody said if you could kick your own worst enemy, you wouldn't be able to sit down for a week. Isn't it the truth? Isn't it the truth? Asking too much of yourself. Now, how do you know when your dream, your vision, is unattainable? Well, number one, it'll be affirmed by others, not including your family. Love is blind. They will tell you what you want to hear. So it's got to be confirmed by others. God said in the mouth of two or more witnesses, let every word be established. So God will confirm what you are, what you have, what you do well, with unrelated people that you are with or minister to, they will affirm what kind of a gifting or dream that you have. If you put on a piece of paper you're a prophetess or you're an apostle or you're this and nobody affirms it, nobody recognizes it, don't be angry, don't be bitter, get a new job. That ain't what you are. If you were, people would recognize it. Let another man's lips praise you and not your own. People will tell you what you are. They'll recognize it. God has a way to confirm that word. So if you're not being affirmed by others, or if what they're affirming is not what you want because you don't think that's what God would have you to be, you're going to miss your destiny and get sidetracked. Okay? So just bear in mind, people will notice what you are. Secondly, it will be compatible with the gift God has given you. Every gift, all of our gifts that come from God are for the plan He has for my life and your life. In other words, I got the right stuff in me for what I have been called to do. I'm not a diplomat, but I got no credentials for it. He didn't call me to be a diplomat, and He didn't call me to be an opera singer. And He didn't call Pastor Ray to be a ballet dancer. And see, not one of you has a problem receiving that. Because the gifting is not there. I'm not a counselor. Oh, I can give godly advice or scriptural advice, but I do not enjoy sitting in an office with tissues and Kleenex and going through the inner hurts and wounds of people. I don't have patience for it. I don't have the mercy for it. I want to give you an answer in 60 seconds and say, thank you, God bless you, see you Sunday. That's it. Well, Brother Rick, you're not, you're this. Hold it. I got the gifts that are just right to help the body of Christ for what I'm called to do. So God's not going to judge me, evaluate me, hold me responsible for what He didn't give me. So if your gifting is not there to take you for what you want to do, you got to reevaluate what you're doing. Okay? God gave you, before you were born, the gifting you'd need to fulfill your life. And our gifts enhance the dream. Build your agenda. Build your whole life. Build your ministry around your gifts. For example, anybody got any unread books at home? Anybody got any unlistened to tapes? I got a box. I travel around the world, and maybe I say, well, that looks good. That's a series on some. I'll enjoy drawing something from that later, and I'll grab that. My wife's biggest outrage is these cardboard boxes loaded with tapes that I have never listened to. Now, here's a good tip-off. Whatever's in those boxes ain't my dream. And my wife, if I give her permission, could burn them at no loss to the body of Christ or to my future. Because if it was part of my dream, my passion would be ripping them open to hear them right now. So it's a good key that those unread books and unlistened to tapes are not part of your destiny. Hey, folks, that's liberating. That's definitely, if you don't know what you are, at least you know what you're not. That's a help. Right? And whatever you happen to be called to do will bear fruit in season and out of season. You can always do it prepared or unprepared because it's what you are. Those are just some ideas about unrealistic expectations that we place on ourselves. So if I'm trying to be something I'm not gifted to be, nobody recognizes it, trying to fulfill the dream of a parent or a group or a church, I will be frustrated and I won't fulfill my destiny. So get back on the highway to your dream by letting go of something someone else imposed on you that's not the passion of your heart. And get rid of anything that you like and you've made brochures about that nobody affirms and that you don't have the gifting for. Okay? You don't have a healing ministry if nobody is ever made well. Okay? Get another job. Detour number two. Uncooperative circumstances. There are just times situations come up in our life on our journey that are not cooperating with where we want to go. Paul Harvey said, you can tell you're on the road to success. It's uphill all the way. And on the highway to your destiny, to your dream, it's hard enough to get there if things go well. But a lot of times, things don't go right. Listen to John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus is speaking. He said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. So Jesus is saying, hey, gang, you're going to have problems. You're going to have setbacks. There are going to be some obstacles. They may look unsurmountable. But he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In other words, even if we do face, run into, setback, uncooperative circumstances, we have a power within us that will help us overcome tough situations. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Now, it's just helpful to know. It doesn't take the pain out of it, but it is helpful to know that that's part of life, uncooperative circumstances. Happen to everybody. Everybody, whether you baptize the Holy Spirit or not, whether you're saved or lost, everybody has uncooperative circumstances. Even that doesn't have anything to do with the devil. It just happens. And if you can't handle that, you'll be frustrated, lose hope, and you'll get off the highway to the destiny God's called you to. But there is a power in you to overcome. Listen to Paul. He writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 8 and 9, and I'm reading from the J.B. Phillips translation. He says, we are handicapped on all sides, but we're never frustrated. We are puzzled, but never despair. We are persecuted, but we never have to stand it alone. We may be knocked down, but we're never knocked out. So Paul declares, in the world, expect, plan for uncooperative circumstances. It's okay. You'll get knocked out, but you won't, but you won't get knocked out. Get back up and get on the highway to the dream God's put in your heart. There are some people who are not fulfilling their dream because they ran into a crisis, ran into an uncooperative situation, and maybe they've assumed God isn't going to do it. Maybe they've assumed it was a wrong plan. Listen, trouble is probably the best indicator it's a good thing. The best evidence of the Holy Ghost is trouble. you do the right thing, expect some trouble. In a survey of the 300 most successful men and women in this earth who have ever lived, researchers discovered two things. One-fourth of all these people had severe handicaps, deafness, blindness, some terrible, debilitating physical defects. Secondly, over three-fourths of the 300 came out of poverty, a broken home, or some extremely disturbed situation growing up. So if you're coming from a background less than ideal, this is good news and ought to be an encouragement to you, because no matter how uncooperative the circumstances may be, you can, with the help of God, overcome any problem that lies in your pathway. The best people that have ever lived and changed our earth had trouble, had big problems, had adversity. Now, there's no such thing as being born on the wrong side of the tracks. Whether you're born on the right side or the wrong side, it's your attitude to where you were born that will determine the outcome of your future. There are losers born on the wrong side of the track, and there are losers born on the right side of the track. And there are people who succeed from the right side and the wrong side. It all has to do with your attitude towards them. I heard about a politician who was elected to office, and the day he took his office, he walked in, looked at the desk of his predecessor, and there were three envelopes. And on top of the three envelopes was a note. In time of stress and severe problems, open one envelope. So in the first few weeks, he got in trouble with the press and media. So he opened the first envelope. It said, blame your predecessor. So he did, and things got better for a while. About 3 months later, he got into trouble again. So he opened the second envelope. It said, reorganize. So he did, and things got better for a while. Then he got, 3 months went by, he got in trouble again. He opened the third envelope. It said, prepare three envelopes. So remember, in our process of pursuing our destiny and dreams, there are simply times we're all going to have uncooperative problems and situations in our path. The third detour, unresolved conflicts. Unresolved conflicts in two areas, others and myself. Look at the conflict with others. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Jesus said, if you're presenting your offering and you remember your brother has something against you, leave your offering and go be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. See, conflict with other people will keep you from your destiny. Jesus was saying, fix relational problems. God builds relationally in the body of Christ. He doesn't build on single people. He builds together in a corporate body, all parts of his one body. And if you can't relate to people because they're a different color, if you can't relate to people because they're a different nationality, you'll miss what God has for you. Your blessing, your deliverance may come from a female, not a male. It may come from someone who's of a different nationality. It may come from someone who's a different race or a different background than you. You see, and if you can't handle that, you have limited your future, limited your destiny. That's stupid, folks. You ought to be able to fit in anywhere, any place, anytime. Paul said, I know how to abound. I know how to stay in a five-star hotel with a great honorarium and first-class airfare, and I know how to barely get by. Stay in a flop house and have nothing and be mistreated. He said, I can abound in everything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You don't use that scripture to get your way. That's the way charismatics interpret that verse. I can do all things. No. It's in the context of the will of God. And if the will of God calls on me to have something less, I can do it. If it comes on something to be blessed, I can do it. It doesn't matter. I'm going to be successful in any situation you throw me into. I'm going to change it. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to dominate it. I'm going to command it. And that's a Christian. Put him in any situation, he'll change it. He'll make a difference. If he's right, he's a good Christian. That's what he's talking about. But people who have constant relational conflict, they can't stay in a church over a year. They can't stay in a relationship over 6 months. Those people can have gifting and anointing and potential. They will never fulfill their dreams. That's simply the key to success, is relating well to other people. Hermits don't build anything. All you get out, what is it, Proverbs 18:1? He that isolates himself seeks his own desires. You know why we hate people around us? They make us change. They expose our weakness. They expose our flesh, our sin. And that's the whole purpose. If it wasn't for people, I wouldn't have any trouble. Wouldn't have a job either. Wouldn't be needed. But a guy who's alone usually has an AK-47, a disturbed temperament, and is dangerous. Ted Kaczynski, they arrested in, where, Montana somewhere, in a 10-by-10 little shack with no electricity, the Unabomber. That's what you get out of being alone, folks, an idiot, a dangerous idiot. God puts us in a body and in relationships. So if I'm going to fulfill my dream, I can't do it alone. No one can do it alone. I have to be relational. So when there are disturbed relationships, you've got to resolve those conflicts or you won't get to your destiny. Look at the conflict within ourselves. Most of the time, we can hurt ourselves. Colossians 3, verse 15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart and in your mind. Operate under the peace principle. Never pursue a dream, never pursue a goal, never pursue a plan that keeps disturbing you inwardly, that hinders your spiritual walk. God's not going to put you into something that violates your conscience or disturbs your peace in your heart." See, when there is no clear scripture, God has written within every man an inner witness of the Holy Spirit. So don't violate that peace. If you are violating the peace to enter into a business deal or to make a great deal of money, you may be sabotaging your future. And you'll get off the highway to your dream if you cannot resolve those inner conflicts. Let me mention a couple of inner intruders that come within inner conflicts with all of us to keep us away from our destiny. One of them is procrastination. It's called laziness. It's called sloth. A lot of folks like bigger names because nobody knows what it means. But it's just really a slothful attitude. It's one of the Bible's seven deadly sins, Proverbs says. And it hurts us because opportunities don't stand still. They're like the tide. They come in, they go out. James 4, verse 14 says, "What is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a short while, then vanishes away." So procrastination keeps us from opportunities that would carry us to our destiny. How many of you know you can do the right thing too late and it's no good? Don't put off what is right. Do it now. Jesus said, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day, for the night comes when no man can work." So Jesus had a short time to fulfill his destiny, and he did. He was able to say, "Father, I have finished the work you gave me to do." Now, how could he do that when there's still unsaved people, unhealed people, undelivered people? Because he had an intimate relationship with the Father, and he was able to discern between important and urgent, and he knew what the Father told him to do versus what he was being compelled to do. You know, it'd help a lot of us if we could separate the urgent from the important. They preach on that. Here's urgent. Facts. One of the staff runs this. The Lord Jesus just got a fact. It's from Mary and Martha. "Dear Jesus, Lazarus, whom you love and have stayed often in our home and eaten our food, at great cost to ourselves over a long period of time, is sick unto death. Doctors say he's going to die shortly. Come quickly and heal him." Now, how many of you know that's urgent? And so is Jesus going to be moved by the urgent, or is he going to seek what's the important? So out of his relationship with the Father, he does not go. He stays two more days. He did the will of God. Folks, if you want to improve your batting average, quit swinging at every ball that comes over the plate. Quit volunteering for everything. Find out what the Father's doing and do that. Do it now, but do that and don't do anything else. You'll live longer. You'll be happier. Psalms 90, verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days." Jesus would allow no one to keep him from his purpose. He would allow nothing to keep him from his purpose. And one of the constant reasons that we have for getting out of our destiny, getting off the highway to our dreams, is our battle with sloth and procrastination. Because we don't have any idea when our days are over. So I've got to be a redeemer of the time. Do it now. Here's what he says. "Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Don't put it off tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come. Don't say, 'That's a good idea. I ought to do it. I'm planning to do it. I'll do it next week.' Do it now. It's helping somebody. Do it now. It's thanking someone. Do it now. It's giving a gift. Do it now. They could be gone next day. The opportunity could be gone tomorrow, and it's too late. So procrastination will destroy you from achieving the fullness of your dream. If it's right, if it's the will of God, if He said it, do it now. Do it now. Make it a lifestyle, and it'll build excellence in your life, it'll build promotion in your life, and it'll bring good opportunity into your life and favor. The second inner disturber is called discouragement. Discouragement. That's taken a lot of people out of destiny. The mark of a person's greatness. Someone said, how much it takes to discourage you. I think years ago I used a story here about the preacher who was so discouraged he read some books on suicide. And after he read as many books on suicide as he could, he went down to a local hardware store and bought an aluminum fishing boat, a rope, a gun, some bullets, a box of matches, a bottle of poison, and a can of petrol. And he put it in the back of his Explorer. He drove out the north side of town to the lake. He put that fishing boat in the water, put all the stuff in it, rowed out to the north shore where there was a huge oak tree with a great branch that stretched out over a deep part of the water, and he threw the rope over the branch and tied a hangman's noose around his neck, tied the other part of the rope off on the boat. Then he doused himself with the gasoline. He drank the bottle of poison, set himself on fire, kicked the boat out from under him, and he hung suspended in the air aflame, put the gun to his head, and he pulled the trigger. But he missed his head, and he hit the rope, and he fell in the water and put out the fire, and he swallowed the water and spit up the poison. And he said the next Sunday, you know, if I hadn't been such a good swimmer, I'd have drowned. So discouragement comes to everybody. George Mueller was responsible for the provision of hundreds of orphans. And the burden was so intense, he said there were days in his autobiography that he became discouraged. So his first item of business every morning was prayer and Bible reading. When asked by the legalist, how long do you do it? Mueller said, quote, as much time as it takes to get my soul happy. I like that. Because it may be a short time on some days, a long time on other days, but get my soul happy. Then I go to work and attack my problem. The third inner intruder, when we begin to be disturbed, is doubt. Doubt. This is the one that will take you off the trail to your destiny. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I say without faith, you won't reach your dream. You won't fulfill your destiny. Because I already told you it's bigger than you are. It's almost too big to be true. Because it's supposed to make you grow. And the foundation of Christianity isn't tongues. I speak in tongues every day. It isn't healing. And God heals every day. It isn't deliverance. It's faith. The foundation of Christianity is faith. Without faith, you didn't say without tongues I couldn't please God. Billy Graham pleased me. But without faith, you can't please me. Which is a big slap in the face to most charismatic. The fourth detour. 5, verse 8 and 9. Scripture says, the devil wants to derail me from my dream, from my destiny that God has for my life. He says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, is roaming around seeking whom he can devour. Now, where did Peter learn that? He learned it 35 years earlier. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32, when Jesus says to Peter, Simon, Satan has asked me for permission that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. How many of you know the enemy went after Peter to derail him and almost did? He did knock him off the highway temporarily. He left the ministry, denied the Lord Jesus, went back to fishing. Thank God he got back on that highway and was restored. And the devil wants to sidetrack you and me from God's plan for our life. Disobedience in our walk with God gives him an opening in which to come in and sidetrack our life. Now, detour number 5.